The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. It's 8:30 p.m. EDT on Sunday, August 8th, 2019. And thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor of this show, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 9. Tonight is the Season 5 of Fear mid-season opener. Season 5 will be doing the traditional 50-50 split season, with the first 8 episodes that ran until July 21st. After its July 21st mid-season finale, Fear underwent a short break, and the back half of the season will return tonight and is expected to run its Season 5 finale September 29th, ahead of The Walking Dead's expected October 6th Season 10 premiere. Speaking of the Season 10 premiere, many of you will have noticed that The Walking Dead Season 10 preview special live stream has just aired right before this at 8 p.m. and in fact is airing up until 9, so we're going to be missing the last half, or I'm going to be unfortunately talking over it. I apologize that I'm dividing your attention. And I did not find out in time to prepare additional show commentary around it, so I hope some of you got to see it on AMC earlier tonight. There's still a half an hour left. Feel free to tune in early and catch that. They're having some great discussions about a lot of fun things. On the show tonight is Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene, and I believe showrunner Angela Kang, and Kerry Payton, who plays King Ezekiel. So you can go take a peek and see what they're doing during the commercials and whatnot. So typically we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. I'm going to pause here and give some welcome applause to one of our regulars and biggest helpers on the show, Joan. We're having a little bit of chat room shenanigans, so I am talking to her on Facebook Messenger until I can figure out how to get that settled. But she will be giving me notes and commentary and everything else I will try to share with you guys so we can all be in the fun together. So thank you for coming, Joan. I appreciate that. And thank you for being a trooper about the chat room. Okay, so our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers that you know or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime, but I encourage you, especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. EDT. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will just be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room, which usually is working, sorry, where you will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the link on Facebook and my Twitter usually. If you want to join in the chat tonight, find me on Facebook and hit me up in Facebook Messenger and I can chat with you about the show. So we have the links. And if you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. You also can just simply hit play. Okay, here we go. 5 minutes in. Episode 9 is called Channel 4. And this is alluding to CB or walkie-talkie Channel 4. And Joe says, silly chat room troubles will always find a way. Yes, we bloody will. We absolutely will. Okay, so the AMC synopsis for this is the group traveling in a convoy doubles down on their mission to help survivors. In an effort to encourage more survivors to reach out, Al, Luciana, and Charlie document Morgan and the gang on a dangerous mission to help a reclusive survivor. And as I often do, we have additional synopses and various commentary articles that come from other places, and I like to pull those up for you guys. So I have, let me pull the first one up, and then I'll go back and count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 to share with you. So it is 8:35, plenty of time. I'm going to get right on this one. It is Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Channel 4 opening shows what a difference mid-season breaks make. And this is from bleedingcool.com, and it was written yesterday. So here's what they have to say. This is by Ray Fluke. Bleeding Cool is a newer source for us. I had not been using them as much in the past, but lately they've been putting out quite a bit of material that I can talk to you guys about. So Ray Fluke appears to be their regular writer about The Walking Dead. He wrote this yesterday. So Ray says, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead universe, things are pretty sweet right now, especially from the perspective of AMC's Fear the Walking Dead. Aside from having an epic appearance at this year's Comic-Con International San Diego, or SDCC to most of us, we learned not only had the series been picked up for a 6th season, this is confirmed, but also the second half will see the arrival of some new survivors. Colby Minifee, M-I-N-I-F-I-E, I actually don't know if I'm saying that right, so please feel free to correct me if you know otherwise. Colby is from Jessica Jones. Peter Jacobson from The Americans. Newcomer Colby Holman, H-O-L-L-M-A-N, and Holly Curran from The Marvelous Ms. Maisel. And they join the series when it returns this Sunday tonight now, and we have a new trailer for the final season episodes. And I hear a ding. Joan is messaging me. Let's see what she's got to say. She's noticed on AMC.com that there is a companion series, digital only, called The Althea Tapes. That is brand new, Joan, and if you don't mind, can you throw me a link to that in the chat? And I will take a look at that later and see what's up with that and possibly share it on our Facebook page for you guys to look at. I'm glad to see a webisode of any sort show up. I'm fascinated that it's Althea's tapes. I was kind of digging the formula that they had where they would have a webisode during a regular Walking Dead classic and then it meets up with Fear. But they kind of threw that in the toilet, and I don't know why. It was a fun little mechanic, but I'm certainly open to seeing Althea's tapes, so thank you for grabbing that. Let me go back to the article. So, which means we find ourselves only days away from series return, Channel 4, a very unique, quote, found footage style outing that offers a different perspective on the action, as you're about to see in the opening minutes of the episode, which will be airing at 9, followed by a previously released preview. Let's see here. Okay, there's some other stuff in the article, but it's a summary of the season. So I don't think I need to read that for you guys. I'm just going down the page, and most of this is just stuff about the season in general, and I've already read to you guys. Okay, so that is the end of that useful material. So there's that one. The second one is Fear the Walking Dead is back, an explosive look at mid-season premiere. Pardon me. This is from sci-fi.com, and I'm pulling that up for you guys now. Paste and go. Alrighty, this was, come on, boot it up. This is taking forever to load. Okay, here we go. This was written on August 9th, a couple days ago, by Tara Bennett, and says, watch, Fear the Walking Dead is back, an explosive look at mid-season premiere. Here we go. When we last left our intrepid Fear the Walking Dead heroes during the Season 5 mid-season finale, they had escaped a radioactive cloud and flown away to relative safety. I actually question that. This is my opinion. I don't have an actual empirical legitimate understanding of radioactivity or these nuclear plants. I sort of felt like the distance they covered isn't far away enough, but I could be wrong, and again, feel free to correct me. Okay, but in their quest to save more lives, Morgan and his crew were left to question whether Logan, Matt Frewer, is really trying to help them on their mission or if he's going to double-cross them again. The series returns on Sunday to answer those questions and more in Channel 4, which teases, and this is the synopsis, which I've read you. So we'll skip that. Dangerous looks to be an understatement, as we see in this exclusive clip from Sunday night's episode, which has Morgan and Althea in a terrifyingly explosive situation. And I will tell you now, they mean this literally. It's a pun. I will not say any more because I have actually had some access to preview stuff because I have AMC All Access. So I'm not going to explain that further. Just a few weeks ago at San Diego Comic-Con, Sci-Fi Wire sat down with Danai Garcia, Alexa Nissenson, who's Charlie, Ruben Blades, and Jenna Elfman to reflect on the big moments of Season 5 so far. Watch to see Blades tease his big return in the narrative, and Elfman predict it if June and John's love story can thrive amongst the undead. And so they have a video of them talking at SDCC, which obviously, since it's a video on my computer, I can't share. But at any rate, that is the end of that one, so that's number two. And it is 8:41. We have a little more time. Let me get the next one up for you. And this is actually from AMC.com itself. So let's open this up. Okay, this is not actually a summary. It's just the synopsis that I've already read you. And then there's the video itself. So I'm just going to skip over that one because there's nothing to read to you guys. We'll go ahead and go to the next one, which is from UndeadWalking.com. And this was Fear the Walking Dead, Survival Rule of the Week, Beware of Liars. And it is relevant to tonight. I will tell you now, there is a very slight plot spoiler. It's not a lot of a spoiler, and it's something. Okay, it's 8:49, and hopefully you guys can hear me, but this is a little bit of a test. All right, can you hear me, Joan? And we shall see. But I'm going to go ahead and continue, and hopefully this stuff has rectified itself. So here is the battle for oil. Anyone who controls the oil fields and the gas is going to have a pretty powerful advantage. Do you think that the survivors are going to be able to help defend the oil fields against Logan and his crew? Oh, Joan can hear me now. Whatever I did worked. Okay, I hung up Skype and redialed, and I'm not sure why that fixed it because I don't really know why it's puking. But at any rate, I'm about to read an article from UndeadWalking.com where they are talking about the battle for oil fields, which is a central part of the back fifth season plotline. So Sonia says, I think they can win and keep control of the oil fields, but I'm not sure they can do it without losing anyone. Also true. I also think that it might have been a bad impact on their states of mind. They don't want control, and they don't want to be in charge of everything, so being put in a position where they have to be in charge in order to keep worse people from being in charge isn't a position they want to be in. But I think ultimately they will do what they need to keep Logan and his group from getting control of the oil field. And allow me to point out here that when we last left off at the end of episode 8, Logan was making it seem like he switched sides. So there's a lot of commentary that is kind of spoiling that something went funny with that. But honestly, I am sure this is not a big shock to any of you, as Matt Frewer's character has definitely been posited as the big bad for this part of the season. Sarah says, I definitely think they could. Their group has definitely grown in numbers, and I think the survivors stand a really good chance against Logan and his crew. Especially with Daniel around, Logan won't have a chance. I think that's a good point. You know, Daniel is quite formidable and clever. Jeffrey says, oil is such an important resource now that it really is starting to run low. In the real world, literal wars have been fought over this resource, so I can definitely see a major conflict happening between our group and Logan. Our survivors are very much equipped to fight, but I'm not so sure they would be willing to kill after their whole mission this season has been to repent. This may be the turning point for them, though. Renee says, the oil fields and gas are vital. I have a feeling Logan and his crew can beat our group. They have the manpower and firepower, but perhaps something crazy can happen, and they can, in fact, take them over. Sarah L. says, I do think they will be able to defend against Logan. Honestly, I believe whoever's in possession of Daniel's warehouse can defend just about anything. That warehouse has a vast amount of supplies of all kinds. And Jill says, Logan seems to be playing both sides or wants to distance himself from his group. They're threatening his life, so I don't think sabotage will be beneath him. And that's the last of the synopses I have for you. Let's see what Joan has to say. But she's just typing right now, but hasn't finished yet. Okay, so there is that article. It's 8:52, so let me get through what I'm able. Next is cast birthdays this week. And remember, we've had a three-week hiatus, so we have a few backed up here. Let's see what Jonah's saying. And Daniel versus Logan, my money is always on Daniel. Yes, anybody who's paid attention to this show since the beginning should always have their money on Daniel. I mean, he has survived impossible odds. And Logan is probably clever, but he's not the same kind of clever that Daniel is, and he's about to find that out. Alrighty, so cast birthdays. Major Dodson, who played Sam Anderson in Alexandria, July 12th, Dallas, Texas. I'm possibly repeating a couple of July birthdays, but I tried to count back 3 weeks. Adam Boyer was the Terminus Butcher. His birthday was July 16th. I don't have a city confirmed for him, but my guess is Atlanta, based on some context clues. Eleanor Matsura, who plays Yumiko, Magna's girlfriend, also July 16th, and she is from Tokyo. All right, Joan has another comment, and then we'll get to August's birthday. So she says, the man got shot in the face and survived after all, meaning Daniel. He's right up there with Morgan on the I don't die meter. Yes, he exactly is so. Okay, so August's birthdays. John Carroll Lynch, who played Eastman, Morgan's mentor, August 1st, and he is from Fort Boulder, Colorado. Melissa Ponzio, who is Karen in Woodbury in the prison, August 3rd, and she's from New York City. Donsley Abernathy played Dr. Stevens in Woodbury, August 5th, and he's from Montgomery, Alabama. Rick Otto, who played Andrew in the Walking Dead webisodes Torn Apart, that was six short movie clips that featured Hannah and her story of how she became infected as the half-corpse or bicycle zombie very early in the series. That was her story. Rick was born August 10th, and he is from Baltimore, Maryland, so semi-local guy. Emily Kinney, who played Beth, is August 15th, and so that's coming up this week, and she is from Wayne, Nebraska. And Brighton Rose Charbino, who was Lizzie, look at the flowers, August 19th, and she is from Flower Mound, Texas. So let's give some applause to everybody who had birthdays and... Testing. Let's see. How about now? Let me know if you can hear me. Let's see. I don't know. But let me go ahead and finish this out because we're about running out of time. He was also an editor for all four episodes of the Walking Dead webisode series Cold Storage in 2012, where a random guy in Atlanta named Chase just so happened upon Rick Grimes' old storage locker. You can still watch these on AMC.com. Dan was part of the editorial department for Walking Dead back to Season 2, Episode 1, What Lies Ahead, and 12 other episodes up to 2014, plus helping with Hearts Still Beating, Season 7, Episode 8. He directed Season 8, Episode 4, Some Guy, and Season 9, Episode 3, Warning Signs for The Walking Dead, and is slated to direct something else in Season 10. Tonight's episode is his second work on Fear, the first being Season 4, Episode 3, Good Out Here. Dan is from Millbrae, California, and graduated from Mills High School there in 2000, attended University of California, Davis, 2000 to 2002, switched to NYU where he got a BFA in film production in 2006. He worked for award-winning creative agency Empire Design in London from 2007 to 2010 and currently lives in Los Angeles. And it is about time for the new stuff, so I'm going to shut up and I'll see you guys at break number one. Okay, guys, I'm back. It's 9:05, and let's go ahead and get some scores up. And let me see. I'm kind of feeling like 5.5 for me. And let's see what Joan has to say. And she's going to weigh in. She's typing. And let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, she's 5.5 also. Joan and I very often have similar tastes and opinions about the show, but not always. And it's fun, you know, when we don't, because then she can have her way of seeing it, and we can all talk about that, and I have mine. It's no, you know, no big deal. It's kind of what makes it nice. Okay, so, oh, and she has sound. So perfect. She's hearing me. That's even better. Okay, so we did Dan's bio, and we did David's bio, so let's skip down to trivia. So trivia about tonight's episode. It will be the 62nd episode of Fear overall. It's the first appearance of the character Tess. And Tess is a character that's happening tonight, but I don't want to say too much more about that because explaining her is a plot device. So I will leave that out. According to Ian Goldberg, this episode will be filmed in found footage using Althea's video camera, like the show The Office. Co-stars listed for tonight because they're new secondary characters that are not worked into the regular rotation. Michaela Gibson as Doris, Peggy Schott as Tess, and Cole Whitaker as Tess's son. Trivia for last episode, episode 8, co-stars Michaela Gibson as Doris, uncredited Raja, the name of the cat who plays Skidmark, and there were no deaths noted. First appearance of Doris. Oh, hold on, I'm just double-checking. Okay, now that's a Twizzlers commercial. Never mind, that's not anything important. Okay, first appearance of Doris, a minion of Logan's, played by actor Michaela Gibson. The opening credits feature the power plant in the background with the alarm siren going off. This episode marks Reuben Blades' 25th appearance on Fear. The title of this episode is the same as Anybody There, or Anybody Out There. It's the same thing said by the radio woman in the episode The Storm of the main show. It's also said by the main characters over the radio at the beginning of the show as they try to find any other survivors, particularly by Morgan. And I'm actually going to go down. I have a little wave that I made up, and I don't get to use this too often, so I'm going to throw it in here. Okay, and with that, we're back. I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, big jump in there. It's 9:17 and we are at our second break. So Jones going up to 6, and you know what? I'm actually going to go to 6.25 because of the interesting plot devices, not the least of which is Sarah and Wendell stealing Logan's truck just the same way they took polar bears, which I thought was pretty freaking funny. So yay, bonus points for that part. Okay, so we were in the middle of trivia when I had to stop. So let me see if I can find my place again. Oh, that's right. We were talking about the title of the episode, and I played old Pink Floyd for you guys. Okay, now I'm caught up. So Logan reveals that gasoline is going bad, which Dwight notes started happening before he came to the area. Logan also mentions the damage caused by the hurricane in the second half of season 4. According to Logan, Clayton had a place set up to help with the fuel problem, a place mentioned in his journals. Joan has mentioned fatal flaw with the landmines. No one can get in, but no one can get out either. I think that was the intention, but the husband knew where they were. So if you knew the secret path, it would be okay, but no one else knows, and she doesn't know, and he didn't write it down. So, yeah, that's kind of a problem, and that'll become a plot device as soon as we go back. So I'll keep an eye on that. Okay, so gasoline going bad may be a reference to how in season 9 of The Walking Dead, everyone is now using car shells pulled by horses instead of vehicles. Well, actually, it's not just the gasoline going bad. I mean, the foraging lifestyle can only go on for so long if you don't move around, and they have been in that area for several years now. So I think they may have foraged themselves out of a lot of things that are now making lots of supplies, not just gas, you know, because you have the horses, but they're making tools and they're growing food and all this kind of stuff too. Okay, while chased by the herd, Morgan retrieves his staff. Oh, Joan, you'll find this funny. Grace later breaks it in half and tosses the radioactive half out of the plane. According to Grace, the other half is safe for Morgan to use, and he hangs on to it. Morgan suggests that it's not the first time someone has broken his staff, or at least tried to. Thank you. So if you put that in the damn plot, then what is this big mythology around his goddamn staff? It is stupid. Joan says, just like a man can't give directions before disappearing and leaving her stuck. Now, you know, in all fairness, I don't think all guys do that. But, you know, her husband certainly did. Derp. Okay. Alicia and Daniel are reunited for the first time since the episode Sleigh Ride. This also marks the first meeting between Daniel and Luciana. I did not realize that. I thought they had met before, but I realize now that when he went missing after the dam, he hadn't met her. Because remember, she was AWOL for a bit. Alicia is decontaminated by Grace last episode, but it's unknown how much radiation she absorbed or the effect it will have on her later. Grace states that she might end up being okay, but Alicia's not so sure. And I'm sure if they bring that up, it's going to be a plot device. Josh McDermott shadowed director Michael Satro during this episode. And this episode is the first to have a Talking Dead episode since Here to Help. Goofs, errors, bloopers from previous episode. Let's see if I can squeeze this in. We're still in a phone commercial, a Verizon commercial. Let's see what they're doing. Okay, another one, Starbucks. Okay. Many of the original children in Annie's group have seemingly vanished, not appearing on the plane after everyone boarded. This is likely due to the showrunners rotating child extras for the group, as new child extras were seen in this episode, none of whom had appeared in any of the earlier episodes featuring Annie's group. In her conversation with Logan, Sarah identifies the truck she's driving as the one she stole from Clayton, who she claims to have never met in person. However, the truck she stole was destroyed by Martha in the episodes Blackjack and Mile Marker 54. It's possible she lied to Logan about this fact so she could garner some sympathy from him so he would help her out in lighting the runway so the plane could land. When fighting the walkers, Wendell used the same contraption on his wheelchair from Blackjack that he used on Purvis. However, his original wheelchair was destroyed with Clayton's truck in Mile Marker 54. It is possible in the interim between the fourth and fifth seasons he rebuilt the mechanism anew for his new wheelchair. That is possible, but it is a bit awkward. And we are back. I will see you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, it's 9:28. So let's go ahead and get our new scores up. And once again, Joan and I are in agreement. 6.5 now. Just so you know, those of you who are following along with the TWD reward stuff, please note, tonight there are two codes during this show. The first code, the word is secluded. And I don't have the second code yet. So get that page up, get secluded in there. And then when we get the second code, Joan catches those usually. So we'll let you guys know what the second word is. All right. So we got a couple minutes. Let me go ahead and go back to my notes. We were doing the bloopers, errors, and goofs and stuff. And the, let's see. Oh, no, I've read all of them to you. So now we're in featured music. And tonight's show, now, Joan, you had said that Sarah was listening to Conway Twitty, but that wasn't it. If this was 14 minutes in, that song was Convoy by C.W. McCall. I actually currently still own the 45 for that song. I love that song. It was a big part of my childhood because CB radios were a big thing. Okay, in episode 8, music from last episode, in the opening scene, the music in the background is Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus as an acoustic version. And related to that episode, I'd Really Love to See You Tonight by England Dan and John Ford Coley, excuse my hiccups, in the mid-season Comic-Con trailer. So I guess that was for tonight. I'm not sure what the trailer would have been, because they wouldn't have had a Comic-Con trailer for episode 8. That's a little confusing, but that's a note that I got from the music site. Okay. Unaccounted for characters. Essentially, I'm kind of still skipping, but I'm keeping track. We haven't heard anything more about other side characters. Talking Dead tonight. Well, we have a thing for The Boys on Amazon Prime. And I don't know. Okay, yeah, this is a nationwide commercial. So Talking Dead tonight. Danae Garcia, Luciana, Kieran David plays Grace, and Maggie Grace, who plays Althea. Also, please note, it is slated for 11 p.m., so while no more Nosferatu messing up the continuity, we have to wait through an episode of Preacher first. I'm sure these are fine shows. It's just I'm a little sick and tired of them being split apart. Stop this. I don't know why you think this is a good idea, but knock it off. I really wish they would put them back together as it ought to be. So Talking Dead comes on at 10, right when everything is fresh. Okay, Joan has said, Joan was referring to the Convoy song when she said Conway Twitty. They do have a similar type of a style, yes. But definitely C.W. McCall, that was like his mega number one hit that made his career. So I'm definitely sure that he was the person who made that song. Okay, are we back? No, that's a commercial. Okay. Let me look at my notes and see what else I got for you guys. Okay. Here is a lineup of the back half of the season. I have titles and writers for some of them. I don't have directors. So next week, episode 10, 210 words a minute. Director unknown, writers Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss, the showrunners. That'll be August 18th. Episode 11, You're Still Here. Director unknown, writers of Mallory Westfall and Alex DeLisle, 25th, episode 12. Oh, no, wait, we are back. I'll read the rest of this when we come back at break 4. Okay, guys, it's 9:36. We are break number 4. I'm going up to 6:05. No, I was at 6:05, sorry. Jones at 6:75. I thought about it. I'm not really sure that she's necessarily wrong, but I kind of had to pick one. So Jonas said, so Immortal Morgan, how did you get out of that one? Well, you will find out when we come back. It was pretty amazing. So, yeah, he's kind of got that Daniel blessing and cleverness and some other things. A little Deus Ex Machina, to be honest. But it's a fun little scene. So let me go ahead and go back to the notes. And we were reading off the remainder of the season. So episode 12 is called Nur Tamid. And the writers are Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg again. Now, Nur Tamid meant something, and I didn't write it down, and I think I should have, to explain to you guys what it means. Okay. It is a sanctuary lamp. In Jewish tradition, in Hebrew it means eternal flame or eternal light, hanging or standing in front of the ark. In every Jewish synagogue, it's meant to represent the menorah of the temple in Jerusalem, as well as the continuously burning fire on the altar of burnt offerings in front of the temple. It also symbolizes God's eternal presence and is therefore never extinguished. This is somewhat unsourced, but again, as always, feel free to correct me if you know better, but please bring receipts. It is also intended to draw parallels between God and fire or light, which is emphasized throughout the book of Exodus and the Torah. So that is what that means, and so I guess its significance to the episode when it comes, we'll figure it out then. So that is episode 12, and that will be September 1st. 13, Leave What You Don't. Writers are Ashley Cardiff and Nick Bernadoni, and that's September 8th. 14, Today and Tomorrow. Writers David Leslie Johnson, as we have announced, September 15th. Episode 15 is Channel 5, kind of riffing off of tonight's episode. Don't Have a Writer, that's September 22nd, and the season finale, End of the Line, September 29th. The following Sunday, October 6th, Walking Dead Classic Season 10 will premiere. Joan has made a comment. Let's see what's going on. Oh, the second word for the Walking Dead rewards is soul, S-O-U-L. So go ahead and enter those in. Those are your two words, secluded and soul. And you have to enter both of them to get your credits. They do not do partial credits. Secluded and soul. Submit. And yes. Okay. That's all done. Fine and well. Thank you very much for doing that, Joan. Okay, so we're still in a commercial. So let's see what other notes I have for you guys. Okay. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media include this coming Thursday, 8:15, Travel Itch Radio, 8 p.m. EDT. Learn about American efforts to preserve an ancient Parisian church, Thursday, August 15th on Travel Itch Radio. Dan Schlossberg and Anita Stokes Thomas interview Brian W. Smith about preserving the Church of Saint-Germain-des-Prés, P-R-E with an accent aigu. S. The building and its artworks reflect centuries of French history and culture. As the oldest church in Paris, it has influenced and shaped people, places, and ideas throughout history, including the famous philosopher Descartes, plus Sorbonne students and teachers. Its architecture is a compilation of styles from Romanesque arches and capitals to Gothic elements in the nave and choir. But the site must contend with the ravages of time, and the overall condition of the church has deteriorated steadily through the centuries. Determined to halt the deterioration, the American Friends for the Preservation of Saint-Germain-des-Prés are generating funds to restore and preserve this unique historical monument. We are back. I'll shut up and see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, it's 9:49. We are at break number 5. Joan is at 675 still. I'm coming up to 675 to meet her. And that was a fun little bit. And she's definitely decided that Morgan is going to be Immortal Morgan from now on, at least until he proves her wrong, if ever. And I kind of feel like that may be a while. So we shall see. But pretty cool. Okay, so other shows on NDB Media. Let me continue. Wednesday, the 21st, is the Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, 11 p.m. EDT. We did not get a chance this past Wednesday to do this episode because Dr. Mathis was out of town. So this will be episode 75, is ADHD a Misnomer, part 2 of 2. And then please rejoin us next Sunday, August 18th, for season 5, episode 10, 210 words per minute at 8:30 p.m. And I have discussion links for you guys. Although, since we are close to the top of the hour, I don't know that we'll get to them, but I will go ahead and pull one up just in the event that we do have enough time to get to stuff. I'm going to see if I can pull this up and maybe start reading it to you before we go back. This is from Fansided at UndeadWalking.com, Sonia Arena, and it's Fear the Walking Dead. Who is leaving messages on the trees? That's been a big plot device that they keep poking at and don't complete. So I assume it'll happen later this month, or later this season, I suppose. So she says, it looks like there will be more messages on trees showing up in Fear the Walking Dead Season 5B. Who could be leaving these messages, and what do they mean? And here's Chris Hardwick talking about Talking Dead, which, again, is going to be on at 11 after an episode of Preacher. Damn it. Okay, someone is leaving positive messages painted on trees in the Fear the Walking Dead world. That's an odd thing to do given the state of the world, and it's starting to seem like it's not a coincidence that the survivors are running across them. In Season 5A, the tree messages were seen on the side of the mountains with the nuclear plant and the truck stop. Interesting. I hadn't actually remembered that before. But in the SDCC trailer for Fear the Walking Dead Season 5B, another tree with a message is seen in one frame. It seems unlikely that the survivors would go back across the mountain, so there must be tree messages on the factory side of the mountains, too. Who could have left these tree messages? Considering how spread apart they are, it's unlikely they were left by just one person, although it's possible. Could a group that the survivors haven't encountered yet left them? It doesn't seem like something a group would do. Seems more like the actions of a person who's trying to spread some hope or possibly send a message to someone. With all the people the survivors have lost, it's possible that they already know the person leaving the messages. Daniel Salazar appeared again after being left for dead at the dam in Season 3 finale, so it's possible that someone else that the group lost over the years survived and ended up in Texas, too. Our panelists dug into the mystery of the tree messages and who could be leaving them. I hear a comment from Joan and says, is Talking Dead going to be on every week now? Do you know? I do not yet know, but that is a damn good question, and I will see about looking into that. I have not seen any commentary on it. But I kind of resent the fact that we got it back and it's still not right at 10 the way it ought to be. So I'm a little stabby about that part. Okay, so who is the tree messenger? There's a quick glimpse of more messages written on trees like the one Dwight and John saw back on the other side of the mountains. Do you think that the same person wrote both messages? Who do you think it could be? And panelist Sonia says, I can't really speculate on who it could be. I think it will be someone unexpected, no matter who it is. And since no one's gone until they're gone, ooh, very funny. I wonder if it's Madison, but I doubt it. I wouldn't count out the possibility that it's someone they've met before. Sarah says, I think this is definitely the same person writing these messages. I kind of do too, Sarah. I think it could definitely be Sherry, but that is just a wild guess. We know that Sherry's been leaving Dwight a trail of letters behind, so she could also be behind the tree messages. I don't think so. It's not Sherry's style. Jeffrey says, I do think there's one person or maybe a group of people leaving messages on the trees. See, I disagree with the article earlier. I think it could be a group. I think it would be pretty amazing if they came across an entirely different group that is also trying to inspire others and help people stay alive. Maybe they could join forces and help a lot more survivors if that were the case. It's also the theory that Madison is the one leaving the messages, and I honestly love that theory, even if it's not as likely. Okay, Renee says, I would venture to guess it's the same person or group. I would love it to be Madison. I keep holding out that she's alive. Well, we all do. And if it isn't her, I really hope a like-minded group that wants to help and not hurt people. someone our group can join with for the greater good. Let me take a quick peek. Joan is talking. She's trying to look up now whether Talking Dead is going to be on later. Oh, we are actually back. So she's checking on that for us, but I'm going to go dark, and I'll see you guys at break number six. Okay, guys, it's 10:07, so let's go ahead and get those final scores up. I'm going to end on 7-2-5. Joan is ending on a 7, and she has commented on a couple of things. She was taking a little issue with Morgan's reaction to not being over his wife and son, and she was saying that she didn't feel it was consistent because Morgan did put him down and not leave him like he did to his wife, leave her as a walker. At least that's the impression that she got. I think that's valid. and there was some closure there. But, you know, I don't know necessarily that it was enough closure and that he really was done with the son, even if he was the one to take him down. You know, and I said people grieve in various ways. So, you know. And Joan also said, more bullets than they know what to do with. Are they that stupid? Yes, they really are apparently that stupid, or they're arrogant, showing off. It's hubris. I don't know how they don't realize that bullets pretty much need to be hoarded at all times. But anyway, the last thing she said, that Logan is a real shit. Yes, he is. Oh, my God. Do I have a wave for that? I don't know if I have a wave for that. No, none of these are good. Okay, so no, I don't have anything fun for that, so sorry about that. But at any rate, let me check my notes and see if there was any remaining things. I had a link that I was going to talk to you guys about, but there isn't time, so we can do that next week. Hope you guys got your codes in for the Walking Dead rewards. Preacher's coming up, and then at 11-ish will be the new episode of Talking Dead. And as we mentioned earlier, Talking Dead will be Danae Garcia, Karen David, and Maggie Grace. So I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. And thanks, Joan, for getting me notes and things as she made another comment. Morgan made a reference in an earlier episode that was questionable and made us think he'd left his son as a walker, which is a reference to other stuff that I'm not going to bring up. And she's hoping that isn't a continuation. Yeah, I hope so, too. They need to stay contiguous with the television and stop crossing things over with other stuff. People need to keep their stuff straight. And it's part of the reason that I don't get involved in the comics very much, because I don't want to have to remember where I saw it. You know, did I see it on TV or did I see it in the novel? I'm old and senile and easily confused. So, you know, Joan, I'm sure, is much more able to keep these things straight. And that's why she's a big help to me. And she also says, here's hoping Logan meets a real herd so he can find out how many bullets he really has. Yeah, well, you know, we've got 7 episodes to find out about that. But, you know, I guess every season needs their big bad of some sort. I would just like to see him be a sort of big bad, not like the governor again or Negan again or whatever else is going on. You know, I want to see something new. And she says, yes, her point exactly. So I'm waiting because she's typing. So I would like to share whatever she's got to say before we go ahead and wrap up here. you give me too much credit. No, I really don't. I am realistic about my own failings, but I appreciate your help as always. And I appreciate you guys that are coming and listening to the show every week or come in and listen to it afterwards. You know, I always appreciate that, even if it's after the fact. So anyway, don't forget, next weekend, we will have episode 10, which is 210 words per minute, and that will be written by showrunners Ian Goldberg and Andrew Chambliss. That will be on the 18th, so we'll see you guys next weekend. Appreciate it as always, and talk to you next week. Thanks for joining us.